Hello and welcome to Connections. It's a Monday. I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore here on MSONewsSports.com, our Connections show. We have one guest here today, and we're excited to have Deb Ansoulian with us. She is the executive director of Girls Inc. Lynn. We'll talk with her in just a moment. This tomorrow is the National Day of Giving. I've seen a couple of references to it, but not a lot. And we'll talk about their story just ahead here on Connections. We do have a busy week ahead here on the program. And we also have North Shore Sports Night tonight at 7 o'clock here on the website. And Rick, you know, looks like a beautiful day out there. I don't think it's going to be quite as great as this past weekend, but we're off to a good start this week and our first full week in the month of May.
Yeah, it was a spectacular weekend. You know, Bill, interestingly enough, I think we got a bit of a sketch or a bit of a glimpse as to what the future is going to be with all the people out over the weekend, at least up on Cape Ann. And I noticed that there was a mix. There were some people not social distancing. There were people who had yard parties and they were social distancing. There were people congregating at the beaches and they were getting ticketed because you can't park there. So I think that's kind of a glimpse of the future. And it's, I guess it's both, you know, positive and negative in some respects.
Yeah, it's hard to say, you know, what all this means and how long this will go on for. I'm interested to watch the stuff going on in the other parts of the country. And since we are a seaside area, the North Shore here, with all kinds of coastline and coastline that looks different in different areas. Even here along the North Shore, you know, you got the sandy beaches, you got the rocky ocean front as well, but. In California, they're battling over closed beaches or open beaches. They're talking about defiance and so on. And I get the fact that parking lots are closed for some of these places because it's going to be hard to limit people. But I do appreciate, I think, the governor saying that that walking health is healthy. And why not walk on a beach as long as you're socially distancing appropriately?
And there's some controversy or I don't know, maybe confusion over the wearing the face shield thing. And I know in Gloucester, I talked with the public health director last week, and she said, you know, if you're out, you're not near people, you don't need to wear a face mask. Yet I see people in isolated places when we were driving around yesterday, and they're wearing them. So I think it's a matter of personal safety and what you feel. I don't wear one when I'm out walking. I avoid people. I stay away from them. When I go into a building, of course, you have to wear one. So it's all kind of it's still surreal to me. You know, and certainly in grocery stores, you can't keep your social distancing in grocery stores, and yet, you know, you're allowed to buy groceries. So, and the other thing, Bill, I should mention is, I know up on Cape Ann, the numbers are still. I don't want to say they're still rising because I don't know that for a fact, but people are still getting sick. I do know that, and I know there's a nursing home up in Rockport called Denmar, where they're going to be doing some testing today because COVID has been discovered in there. So, you know, this thing hasn't gone away.
No, it hasn't. And maybe we can touch on the face masking a little bit later on. We're going to step aside just very briefly here. And then Deb Ansoulian is going to be joining us here from Girls Inc. Lynn. A daily news podcast for the North Shore. North Shore Today. North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7. As we keep you connected with the North Shore. Connections continues, and we are joined by Deb Ansoulian, the Executive Director of Girls Incorporated of Lynn. Deb, welcome. Good to be talking with you again.
Thank you, Bill. It's good to see you, too.
Deb, you are involved with, I guess it's a National Giving Tuesday tomorrow, Tuesday, May 5. And tell us about what that means as far as Girls Inc. is concerned.
So it's Giving Tuesday, and it's a global day of giving and unity as an emergency response to the unprecedented need caused by the COVID-19 virus.
And how does it impact, and tell us about the Girls Inc. connection to that piece.
Sure. So when we stopped doing programming at 50 High Street, we immediately looked at how could we serve the girls and continue to serve the girls. So we are actually doing online virtual programming with the girls. So monies that we raise during this Giving Tuesday will go right into the girls for supplies, paying for staff, helping girls continue on their educational journey.
I want to, folks, I want to get into some of the work that you do to let people know. We did a feature now quite a while ago on Girls Inc., so it's been quite a while. But you do a great job at Girls Inc., but I've been thinking of you guys, too, because since all of this happened, all of that work stops in the way it used to be performed, for sure.
Right. We had to change our business model, actually. You know, we were for the most part, we did some in school, and we did programming at our location at 50 High Street. And we really had to take a look at how we were going to stay in contact with the girls and support them. So the first thing that we did was we contacted all the families to find out what their needs were, making sure they're okay, that work continues. And then we have been doing virtual programming, and that is everything from homework help. We have our mentoring programs going on virtually, STEM programming, literacy, our leadership programming, our girls are meeting, helping them social, emotionally, every way that we can potentially help the girls stay engaged, stay focused, and continue to be stronger, smarter, and bolder.
Yeah, tell us about the number of girls that you serve at Girls Inc. and Lynn.
So we serve about 1,500 girls a year through the year, both in our in school and on site programming.
Yeah. Right. So you, just for the folks that you have a great new build. Well, I say new now, but I keep telling you it's a new building, but you've had it for so long, Deb, right?
Yeah, we've been there for 10 years now. And, I should say we serve girls ages 5 to 18 in our elementary school program, our middle school program, and our teen program. And we focus on academics and mentoring programs and leadership programs.
Yeah, the leadership empowering message is so empowering, I think, to that the organization deals with. Now, you also did that spring honor ceremony or celebration it was. That isn't on now, right?
So that's what you're talking about is our celebration luncheon that happens annually at the beginning of April. We did have to postpone it. It's a great event. It is a day of celebrating the girls. We still are going to celebrate our girls, and we are going to do that virtually. We are starting to get together a virtual program that will take place at the end of May. We will have an opportunity to hear from our three scholarship winners and some of our seniors to hear what their journey has been, where they're going, and to really celebrate the girls, because that's what the event is about.
Now, if people want to give to Giving Tuesday, how do they do that? Just click on your website. And again, we do have the link to that piece.
Sure. Yep. Girls Inc. Lynn.org, or they can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all the social media platforms.
And the old-fashioned folks like myself, Deb, they can also drop you a check to 50 High Street in Lynn, I'm sure, at 01902.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. Yes. For people still writing checks, yes.
There are some of us that are still writing checks,
Yes.
I think about changing, but I don't know, but I'm mixed.
Yeah, no.
I do a little of mixed. I'm on some online stuff, some mixed, yeah.
Most people do, and yeah, we're appreciative of the check giving people, for sure.
The old fashioned, you don't have, my daughter doesn't even have to take a check to the bank anymore. She can just do it, on the phone or whatever they do. But
it's amazing, yes.
So again, what's going on right now at 50 High Street? I mean, people obviously can't be going in there, right?
We're closed, and just waiting to see. We are closed for sure until June 29th with all school age and, child care providers, and looking at, what our reopening will look like. We're mindful that we want to make sure that people are safe and that we're following CDC guidelines. We will have a combination of eventually during the summer folks, girls in the building, but we will continue our virtual programming throughout the summer for sure.
How does this impact you looking forward? And when I say looking forward, into the summer, into the fall, and so on. I'm sure you've given that some thought, but I heard the governor speak yesterday, the other day, And, you know, basically it's I'm paraphrasing him, very much paraphrasing him, but you can't plan too much too far in advance because you really don't know how this all plays out.
Right. So I think you have to be thinking about a lot of different scenarios and do the what if, you know, what if we could have X number of girls? What if, they have a vaccine comes about, you know, all of those different ways of doing it. But, you know, it's an opportunity too for us to take a look at how we're doing programming and, you know, really to look, do some programming. Does it serve us better to do it online than it would in the building? You know, so there are opportunities here, and the girls are helping us figure that out too. You know, they are partners in that with us.
And that's another powerful piece to your program, is that girls are partners with so much of what happens at Girls Inc. That's the kind of transformative thing that the girls go through that program.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right now, our senior girls and teen girls are actually running programs for the younger girls. And that has been beneficial both for the senior girls and for the younger girls. And I sat in a session the other day, and it was really, truly amazing. And I cannot tell you, I was so impressed by their Zoom skills that they were able to. It was just really amazing. But it helps the girls, it helps us, and it really helps us to think about what our programming is going to be for the future, because it's about what the girls need right now. And, you know, right now they need focus, they need homework help, and they need a place to talk about what is going on in the world and in their lives.
I have two follow-up. Yeah, I have two follow-up questions for you, Deb, on that piece. Now, what are you finding about the online availability of your the students there, the girls? I mean, because you mentioned all the different age groups, and I worry about, you know, not everyone can be online or how that works. Yeah,
right. You know, so that's challenging. Older girls, it's easier for them to have access to. With the younger girls, we're working with their families and around how to do that and what that looks like. Yeah, so that's a learning curve for us that we're still figuring out, quite honestly.
And finally, this is kind of a bigger picture thing, but is there a general overview that you can share with us about how girls are handling this, or how the kids are handling this time right now, a big kind of picture thing, all the different age groups?
They are handling it much like we are as adults. You know, they have their good days where it's really, they're really excited and lots of hope, and that there are days that it is just really, really hard. You know, I think that for seniors, it's particularly hard. All those, you know, their graduation and events that take place around that time. So we're there to help them talk about that and think about the future, and really to, you know, support them in whatever is happening for them in the moment.
Deb, is there anything final, as we stop here, that you'd like to add to the information being shared here today regarding Girls Inc. and the Giving Tuesday?
Sure. Well, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for all our supporters, our continued supporters. We really appreciate that. And I just hope for everyone that they're staying well and safe.
Well, and from us to you, thank you for all the work that you do, and all your staff do on a daily basis. It's terrific work, and again, the empowering piece and the partnership piece with the girls is just, again, so empowering to watch that play out. And keep up the good work, and be well. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Deb Arsourlian, the Executive Director of Girls Inc. of Lynn, with us here today on Connections.
Well, there's some good news in the Gloucester Daily Times, anyway, on this Monday, Star Wars Day, May the 4th. Headline from Taylor Ann Bradford says, small business owners extend thanks to healthcare providers on Cape Ann. And very quickly, it talks about Tom Lance, owner of the Brass Monkey at 85 Main Street. They've started the initiative Thank You on Thursday. And the program has small business sponsor meals made by local restaurants to be dropped off to the employees of the Addison Gilbert Hospital. And he's quoted as saying, we hear about the hard work and the 16-hour days in the fight against the virus. I was thinking, what can we do to help that and support AGH in particular, because they are supporting systems all over Cape Ann in general. So his efforts are twofold: to thank all the healthcare workers on all three shifts at the Gloucester Hospital for their hard work and dedication, while supporting some local restaurants on Cape Ann. And there's a big article in today's Times on how to do that. Also, there's a big headline on the budget in Gloucester. And according to Chief Administrative Officer Jim Destino, the COVID-19 is obviously really changing the budget. Special City Council meeting will take place. Tuesday, May 5. And that will, of course, be online via Zoom. Details how to join that meeting have not been posted yet. So if you go to the Gloucester City website, you can figure that one out. Then there's one other one, Bill. There's something called porch rate. It's kind of a play on the porch, portrait word. After a month, Gloucester photographer Bill Sumner's family porch rate fundraiser project is beginning to wind down. And so far, they have raised $23,000 in donations for the Open Doors food pantries. So there is some good news.
It's funny. You started off, Rick, by talking about restaurants donating meals. And whenever I hear those stories, I am struck by, the business community gets beat up by different folks. But if we didn't have the business community, we would not have people paying the taxes at the level that they're paying their taxes at to help support the programs that we want. And these businesses, case in point, restaurants, are more under the gun than any business that I can think of, to be quite honest with you. I would say maybe except for, a barbershop or a salon that totally has to close, but a restaurant can sort of remain open. But we know the profit margins in a restaurant are so narrow to begin with. And then to open up, if they are, on a very limited basis, but then to be giving out meals to those people as a generous act of a donation act, to me, is remarkable. So a very special salute to all of the restaurants and food service industry folks, owners and their staffs that have been able to donate to first responders or whatever the cause, or to people in need. There are a lot of people in need in communities now, more so than ever before. And again, having those people step up and do that is really terrific. So, and by the way, if you have any information like that, feel free to send that along to us, because we do have a phone number up in our contacts tab on our website, and our email address is up there as well. Feel free to pass that along to us.
Bill, some of the restaurants that I mentioned in the Salem News who have been doing that, and I agree with you. I mean, I know several restaurant owners, and man, it's just so tough on them. And of course, the employees, they're trying to hold on to their employees as best they can. But some of the restaurants and food services that are mentioned in the Salem News today have for donating and so on. Talk about the Viga Italian Eatery in Boston that's donated 525 meals to Salem Hospital. Russ Treadwell Ice Cream in Peabody has been donating. Christopher's Cafe in Lynn helped employees celebrate Easter. Mino's Roast Beef, rather, Manhattan Sandwich Company, Marblehead, Olympic Roofing and Top Seal has made donations. It just goes on and on. Wenham Tea House. There are just so many more. And I think in each town and community, there are restaurants, sub shops, coffee shops, and so on who are donating. I mean, they're suffering business loss themselves, and they are donating to the cause. It's just amazing.
You know, one of the things that I think must be suffering, Rick, big time is you and I no longer get together, so you don't have your muffin. I don't have my blueberry muffin or whatever. It's been well over a month since I've had a donut. You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest with you. I love a cup of coffee. If I'm out in the car driving around, I may swing by and pick up a cup of coffee. I'm not alone in that. And when I do that, I often will have to say, well, I could have one donut. But I mean, I don't know what's happening with the donut industry right now. But I got to think that, there's another piece there. I would love, I almost did it the other day because as I was out, I had to do some things, but I didn't do it. But well, still, I'm not losing any weight, Rick. That's the problem.
I'm with you. And I missed the Angry Donut. That was I was turned out of that place by some Newburyport City officials. That place is really cool. But yeah, and I heard someone, I think it was on social media, someone was complaining, and what, Dunkin' Donuts is an essential business? And it was very sarcastic. And I'm thinking, yeah, it is. You got to have your coffee. And you know, there are a lot of people on their way to work, Bill, who ordinarily would be stopping at other places or doing what they could do to have their little cup of coffee driving into work and so on. And they are essential workers as well. So, I mean, I think my hats are just off to those people who do go in every single day. And you know what, Bill? The fear is real for some of these people. It really is. So, you know, congratulations to them for doing it in every single business that is open at this point.
Yeah, we have right along, right from the very beginning, the grocery store workers, for example, grocery store workers, drugstore workers, who we've talked about numerous times on this program, continue to go into work. And it really has only been in the last several weeks that they've gotten the added precautions for them within their own business locations, that I can tell anyway.
And no, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but, you know, on top of that, I see, for example, Trader Joe's or the grocery stores, Market Basket, Shaw's, and so on, Stop and Shop. I see employees, a lot of times they're young men or young women, maybe, you know, college or high school age, and they're cleaning the carriages. And, you know, they're not trained disinfectant workers, and they're doing it because you know, they were taught how to do it. But still, you got to be a little freaked out thinking about, okay, who touched this carriage here? You know, what am I doing? And they're doing it, and they're keeping the place safe.
Well, it's funny. Some of the information that we learned about the virus 6-7 weeks ago hasn't changed. Some of it has changed, but one thing that really hasn't changed is touching surfaces, touching your face, touching your mouth, and so on. And I think that with the face mask piece, and now again, I'm not a doctor, and I really feel uncomfortable almost talking about this, but, you know, you go into a grocery store, now you have your mask on, but you didn't for the first several weeks. You didn't have a mask on, neither did the right workers. And, you know, they weren't really cleaning the carriages. In fact, when this first started, went into one grocery store, and they usually have the hand sanitizers. They were out of the hand sanitizers the first time. You know what I mean? This was early on. Now, of course, they're up to speed, and like you said, they're wiping off the carriages and so on. But everything's a ramp up. You know, none of us are perfect. You know, they're doing what they can do. But it's been such a learning curve. But again, that fundamental piece about touching surfaces, touching your face. Then you do have the airborne piece. That's another story. But I wanted to just touch on the air mask, the face mask thing, because the governor came out with a directive late last week. And I know some towns and cities have had different policies and so on. But you're right. I do think, though, I still think our policy, though, is that if you're out walking, let's say you're the only person walking, you know, on the beach, or well spaced in a parking lot or beach, you don't need your face mask. I mean, that's right. I still think that's the policy. Having said that, once you get in contact with somebody, then be prepared to have your face mask now outside, as well as being you know, inside. You did need it in the last several weeks going inside a business in most communities. Yeah. So yeah.
Well, I think, you know, you got to play the odds as far as I'm concerned. And the other thing I want to mention, Bill, we were out having coffee this morning, out on the patio, and we were just thinking about how things have changed. And one of the things that hit me is that this has been a time for those who can't go to work, those who can't get out, and those who, you know, we can't socialize as we used to. It's been a time of introspection. And you have to look at yourself. You're looking at yourself. You're looking at your own community. You're looking at your own family. And all things are being considered. And I got to tell you something. I see these empty stadiums on TV and stuff like that, and these hyped up sports promos and so on. And I think that it's so banal. It's so inane. I mean, here we are. The globe literally is fighting for its life. And you look at that stuff and you think, how meaningful is that? On the one hand, but then, of course, on the other hand, you got to have entertainment. So it's just a bizarre time right now. However, I think we are, what do they call it, flattening the curve. And I think in some places the numbers are really starting to go down on the other side.
They are. And the Massachusetts data, although I did not look at it today, I did look at it over the weekend. Again, not declining like you would like, but flattening and maybe coming down a bit. And again, the data to watch is this is just me talking. An honored scientist. is the hospitalizations and at some mm-hmm. obviously the deaths are also one to watch. But we are testing more now, so the actual confirmed cases of COVID-19 sure. is somewhat less meaningful now than it was before. But still, having said that, hospitalizations apparently are down. Deaths declining slightly, but still incredibly, frighteningly high, to be quite honest with you, even at this point. Because we've been isolating now, Rick, for weeks.
Right.
I mean, I actually I am surprised that this is continuing. I really thought in my head, just kind of thinking as not as a scientist, obviously, that we would have had a better handle on this by now. But I get it. I think that it takes a while to really isolate. And there are elements of our society that are really having multi-generational families, there are difficulties with isolating and quarantining, if you will. It's difficult, and people don't know the asymptomatic piece, as the Dr. Birx and Dr. Fauci talk about, probably very problematic here. So I'm just hoping we get a better handle on this and things start getting to look a bit better here in the next couple of weeks, especially here in Massachusetts.
And if I could just mention, Bill, our series on the athletes, the class of 2020. I know that we did four or five of them last week. Saluting, we've been talking with the captains mostly of spring sports, along with their directors of athletics, and we've got more coming up.
Yeah, we do. We have Matt Serino, the AD at Winthrop, has three athletes and a coach to join us. That'll be up just a little bit later on today here on MSO News Sports. I also got a chance to talk with Justin Rennicks of South Hamilton, MLS soccer player for the New England Revolution, 21 years old, and what he is doing here. He's up in South Hamilton, but the Revolution, in fact, I did see a note where MLS might be allowing their teams to get back to working out soon on a team-by-team, case-by-case basis, but that's I just read that somewhere over the weekend, somewhere. But, yeah, we have that going up. Of course, you have North Shore Sports Night tonight at 7 o'clock. We saw the Cape Cod Baseball League cancel last week. I think it was very early last week, so it's been like 7 days since they canceled. But the Futures League, which involves the North Shore Navigators, so far they haven't canceled or postponed or delayed the start of their season. And we will talk with Jack Wallace from Winthrop tonight, one of the guests on North Shore Sports Night. And we're working on some other things, as you know. Plus, I guess Mike Grenier will be on the program tonight at 7.
Oh, yeah. Good to have Mike come on, talk about some of his stories covering sports in the Salem News. Gary Larrabee will be with us, too. Tim Kearns. We got the usual cast of characters. And then Connections is shaping up to have some really good guests this week as well.
Yeah, we have that. It seems like, Rick, there was one other thing that I did want to mention. I just think it's important that folks know that they can contact us. We're kind of excited because we're able to connect folks, and the whole idea of this connection show is being able to connect great people here on the North Shore doing very good things or even great things at times, for sure. And so we're just excited to be able to do that, and we always do like to get some feedback or some additional input on stories or topics or guests that we could be talking to here. But I do think I am hoping that, we will begin to reopen. That's the kind of dialogue that we're having around the country about reopening. But again, it appears that there are still a lot of hot spots right here on the North Shore. So that's still very much a concern in our particular area. But as you pointed out right at the very beginning of the show, Rick, there are other areas of the North Shore where they really are not hot spots. So we'll see how it all plays out. I think it'll be an informative week this week coming up. We'll see what hopefully things begin to change a little bit.
Yeah, just got to keep thinking positive and, I guess keep being patient.
Yeah. How many face masks do you have, Rick?
Oh, man, I'm glad you asked. Well, we bought a bunch of face masks years ago when we redid the house, to put on when you're sanding and stuff to keep the stuff out your face. So they're all the paper face masks are old, but we have those, and they're effective for what we're doing now. But we have these face masks that my wife bought a set online, and so I've got, it looks like 4th of July fireworks. I got one of those face masks, and I've got a couple others that my stepdaughter has given to us. So I've got I am styling when I'm out there.
Nice. It's funny, I was worried that I had to go out and do an errand last week. So that's not a lot of going out, if you know what I'm talking about, compared to usual. And I wanted to make sure I put my face mask in my car, you know, like I just popped it in there, you know, the night before or whatever, saying, because you're going to need this and you don't want to forget it. So in the meantime, if you go out for a walk, I've had my face mask with me, you know, like you were saying earlier, if there's nobody around you, I will not put it on. But if there are people around, I have it right there handy, slap it on, and we're good to go. But I did last night after dinner, we went out to take a very short walk, and I start walking down the street, and I go, oh, guess what I don't have? a face mask. Yeah. But in the meantime, it was a very, very short walk, and it was just, then there was nobody really around. So, yeah.
When I go out, I have to check for my wallet, my keys, my phone. But now it's my wallet, my keys, my phone, face mask, and hand sanitizer. And many times I'll get down to the car and say, oh, I got to go back upstairs, get my face. Oh, I got to go get my hand sanitizer. So I have a checklist now when I go out.
I'll tell you what, who would ever think that you're reaching for your face mask more now than your wallet?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's that's
not true.
That's the good. Yeah. I mean, seriously, your wallet is kind of, oh, yeah, there's a wallet there. Yeah, that's it. What's that for?
What's that for? I've asked people too. I can't wear my glasses when I'm wearing the face mask. I've tried and tried and tried and tried. When I'm skiing, it's different because your face mask has, an opening for you to be able to breathe. But these don't. These cloth coverings, and so it goes up into your glasses, and I can't do it. So that's part of the problem I have of wearing a face mask is I must take my glasses off, and then of course I can't see anyway. So it's a double whammy.
So on that note, Rick, we'll wrap it up here on Connections for this Monday. Like you said, we have a number of guests coming up later this week. Do check back on the website. We often will put the promo piece up the evening before on Connections with our guest list and so on. But if not, do check back around 10 a.m. Sometimes we're live at 10 a.m. Sometimes we're pre-recorded at 10 a.m. But we want to make sure that we grab the best guests possible. And again, do email us and you can call our number up at the contact tab on our website with any suggestions or guest ideas. And Rick, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. Be safe.
And also, do check out North Shore Today with our daily news podcast, local photos we have up there today, as well as our videos of the day as well. So we got a lot of interesting stuff up there on the North Shore Today post. Check it out. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. Thanks again so much for joining us today on Connections.